Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.
Well, for me, when I even hear what's the metrics of relationship, I just stiffen and bristle.
Yeah, it's rules.
Yeah. It's a law language approach. But I don't know how to have conversations that don't end up there.
Yeah.
Or that doesn't use those terms. I guess that's... Well, Jesus said a good teacher, he brought out of his treasures thing gold and new. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of that old law language in me. I just don't have much new love language left to use.
Well, that's what
it seems to satisfy me anyway.
I got some resources right here. Do a little plug here for Robin Smith. Her book, It Is Finished. Just read the back cover, and I might read a quote. We can talk about it. She says, what if 2,000 years ago was the catalyst that changed everything? What if Hosea and Isaiah saw something that we haven't fully grasped?
Yeah.
This book is full of stuff. She says here, and I'm just pulling a quote out of nowhere. This chapter.
Welcome to Finding Our Way.
This chapter is under chapter one, actually, Understanding Paul. But here, listen to what she says. And I think it might go along with what we've been talking about. The Father has never looked at humanity through the lens of the fall. He has always seen his sons through the lens of face to face. And in the fullness of time, he reconciled us, the world, all humanity, once again to himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Reconcile is katalasso in Greek, meaning to change completely. It refers to the act of coming together to be at the same place or position. Where is that place or position? Sons, face to face with our Father. Where he is, we are. And where we are, he is. And I want to add to that what we were talking about, I think, the other day. When Adam sinned and fell, nothing of God changed in his perspective, and nothing of who we were. It was all in Adam's mind. In his perspective, somehow, something darkness entered in. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus dealt with, went to the bottom of, killed at the cross, whatever that was. We call it sin, but it's been dealt with.
It has been dealt with. And we've been brought back into a relationship with God as our Father that is on, I want to say, on the same level or commensurate with that of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it's the same love that he has for Jesus, he has for us. And that's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
But we're learning what that means.
Yeah.
I'm learning what that means.
Yeah.
I've never seen a love like this. Now, it's been poured out in our hearts. We are loved, and His love is in us.
Yeah.
And we are lovable, and we are loving people.
Yeah.
Because of that, but
it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Norman Grubb, that self-giving.
Yeah.
That love.
Yeah. Well, Norman also mentioned about we're vessels of God.
Yeah,
we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
We contain
Him. We're containers of Him.
Yeah.
He's poured His love out in our hearts.
Yeah.
And out of our broken vesselness, that's a word,
yeah.
We're trying to express it to one another.
Yeah. When all the while, the reality is we are healed and whole and complete.
Yeah.
Because of what Jesus accomplished in becoming a man.
Yes. Even if I don't feel like it, believe it, or act like it, or think it.
Or know it.
Or know it. Or even know it.
On any level. This book.
Yeah, I think Robin does a real good job communicating those truths.
Yes, it does. A really good book. His glory was given to us for the purpose of oneness between the Godhead and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of talking about that here.
Yeah. Well,
out of that relationship. Let's create
one. Mm-hmm. We're, was it C.S. Lewis said we're far too easily satisfied? Somebody said that. I think it might have been C.S. Lewis. But the idea, we want to settle for a lot less than oneness.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In all our relationships, in the sense of we're transactional.
Yeah.
I just need you to do this for me. I don't need anything else. If you'll fix that, then I can pay you. You can go on.
Yeah.
And we treat the Lord the same way, too, in the sense of we pray, I need you to do this. Thank you for doing that for me. I'll call you when I need you again.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, listen to this. His very essence in us. The fullness of the Godhead in us and us in them. A seamless union face to face with the Father through Jesus in the Spirit. We are chosen, pure, flawless, without fault, sinless, judged innocent, sons glorified, filled with the fullness of the Godhead, made in His image and after His likeness. All of this describes who we have always been from before time began in the Father's opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's who we are. That's who we are.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to live there. I do live there.
You do live there.
But I want to live from there.
You want to understand.
I want to be aware.
You want to be aware and understand what she just said.
I want to know more.
And treat others that same way. See others that way.
Yes.
Speak to them that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Look, man. I didn't go through here and decide what quotes I was going to read. I'm just pulling them out of my hat. I'm trying to find a shade for that. Here we go. There's just so much. This is Paul's gospel. And it should be.
She goes on and talks about God isn't looking for obedience the way we've understood it. What does God want? He's looking for Shema, Levat. Or for hearing hearts.
Yeah.
A hearing heart is a heart that hears and responds. A hearing heart is rooted in love. And she points out that the first time the word Shema appears is Genesis 3:8, where they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she summarizes it at the end. Obeying is simply abiding in him with a hearing heart that responds yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the relationship we've been talking about.
Yeah. And I think that's what, if I go back to my Matthew 7, Jesus' conclusion on Sermon on the Mount, that's what he was.
What's that verse saying?
He that hears these teachings of mine and obeys them, he's like a man builds his house on the rock.
But you got to hear.
Yeah, I think that's what he was. It's what they understood in his language that maybe my filter doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Well, hearing with an attentive heart of love with a positive response to what you're hearing.
Well, this is just a revelation of the stark contrast in what they understood and what our church or our world today, because when we read something like that, we think, well, we got to obey, when there wasn't even a Hebrew word for obey. Where you come up with that?
Yeah, well, that's our law language.
Exactly. We were trying to talk about obey not being in the Hebrew mind concept, not a word for it. Not that they didn't. And the idea is hearing God and responding.
Well, Robin points out it's a listening heart.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not just, I'm going to make a distinction. Hopefully there's a point to it. I'm not just listening to the ears.
Yeah.
With my ears for the minimum I can get by with. I'm listening with my heart to truly receive what's being said and respond properly.
Yeah.
But that goes back to relationship. What am I hearing? What am I listening for? What am I hearing? Is it a boss telling me what to do and I'm trying to figure out what's the least I can get by with and stay employed?
Yeah.
Or even if my wife is asking me to do something, is it the same way?
Yeah.
Or am I really trying to hear what she's saying and what she wants?
Yeah.
Past the take out the trash comment or request.
Yeah, and I think the whole key or the answer to that situation that you're talking about is to have a heart filled with love.
Yeah.
Father's love. So there has to be an awakening and a revelation to the reality of the love of God, who He is, thus who we are in Him. That changes everything.
And just the fact that he truly loves us. Even if nobody else in the world can stand to be around us.
Yeah. Man, man. And that's, I don't know when it was, but the Lord showed me that or said that to me one day. Everybody wants to be loved.
Yes.
If you want to help somebody or encourage somebody or reach out to somebody, do something in a manner that they will realize you're loving them in that you're doing. And that's what I want to do. I don't do it well, but people I work with, especially because I see them all the time, and some of them, I just don't know how they endure life, listening to them. But I just want to love them, truly, that they might know who they are, who God is to them as Father. That's one of the things I'm learning. I hope I'm growing in this love that I'm experiencing, is not to judge. I know in the past, I've had most of the answers, able to make a judgment right quick because I had all those answers.
Yeah.
But learning the love of my Father and walking in love with Him, I come into a place where I'm able to see people and things, actions, respond without making a judgment and trying to respond in love. Whether it be something somebody says, something somebody does, or the way they look, their appearance, whatever. Coming at them with this judgment that they are a son or a daughter, maybe they're confused or maybe they don't know, maybe they don't understand. And they just, not only do they want to be loved, they need to be loved. They are loved, but can they come? Can I be involved in their process of coming to understand that they are loved? So, in talking about that scripture that we started with this morning about hearing these things and building your life upon them, that chapter starts with "Judge not."
Yes, it does.
So, I think in a very broad sense, probably all of our conversation has revolved around that chapter. Not to our knowledge, but...
True, I agree with that.
The Lord has a way of doing things we fully don't understand.
Yeah. Well, could I say that judgment is the death of relationship?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yep.
If love doesn't keep a record of wrong, then what place does judgment have in relationship?
I can hear, can't remember his name right now, his last name. I can hear an old boy. But scripture says make a righteous judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, okay, what would that righteous judgment be?
Yeah, mercy. Forgive.
Yep.
Love.
Yep. Because we're finding out that justice is mercy. Our justice is merciful, and mercy is just.
Yeah.
Something that we just don't understand.
Yeah.
But I am learning as I grow in this love, however little, I find myself not wanting to judge someone. Not so readily, which, I mean, that's, to me, that's just like our Father. That's, he done, if he judged, I mean, the scripture says he was not counting our sins against us. That was his judgment.
Yes.
I'm not going to hold this against you.
Yes.
I'm going to come and love you and show you, reveal to you who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's the judgment.
Yeah, he's judged the world in righteousness in this man Jesus. That's his judgment. That's his decision,
and
his judgment.
Has given assurance
by the resurrection
to all men. What is assurance? Assurance is supposed to be comforting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. That's not how I grew up on that verse.
Oh, no.
Acts 17. But the assurance is that God has judged you righteous in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised him up to prove it. As a proof of it.
Right.
According to Romans 4:25, he was raised because of our justification, our being
right.
Justified, our being righteous.
Yep.
So, man, that's exciting. There's something about dance being that you're embracing one another. You're face to face. You're
right.
Seeing one another. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Willingly moving together.
Yeah. I know we talk about that a lot. I come across some more quotes. I ain't found one that really stirred you yet.
Really?
That I can tell.
Oh. Well, you just need to quit judging me, James.
You're holding it in over there.
No, you need to quit judging me.
No, I'm just making an observation.
Oh, yeah. That's another word for judgment, isn't it?
It is.
That's a more palatable word.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. It was over here.
Well, while you're looking for another one, as I'm thinking about some of that, which we've had some episodes on judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to necessarily go back and replow that ground today. That's part of why I'm quiet. I was like, okay, I don't necessarily know if I want to go back and replow it. Not that I probably don't need to.
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, it comes to mind.
Well, I know.
One of the areas in my life that's changed because of love.
True. Well, for me, I go, I'm going to replow it. All judgment was at the cross. And that judgment is, you are forgiven. You're righteous. You're mine. You're loved. And it's settled.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that needs to be replowed. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it.
And I'll add to that, if in any... I'm going to say any future judgment is nothing more than a unveiling of that judgment.
That's right.
At a level that the individual can understand it.
God's going to reveal it to you. The secrets of men will be judged according to my gospel.
Yes. So,
that's good news, man.
Well, it changes everything.
No. But are you trying to say?
I hope I'm saying it.
Oh, God is good, man.
Well, and that goes back. That goes back to the whole thing is about the nature of God.
Yeah.
And is He good? Is He love? Is Jesus Lord?
What'd you call
did
him?
Is He finished? Did He finish His work?
Is it Swords in the Plowshares? Is that the name of that podcast? Something about Plowshares.
No.
What's the name of it? Anyway, that guy, how did he call the two-faced guy?
Janus, the two-faced guy. That's what he said.
Is he a two-faced guy?
Yeah.
Or does he just have one face?
He has one face, and it's seen in Jesus.
It's not the Janus guy. This is some quotes on sin. You know how in the Western Church, the focus is on sin and a misdefining of it, maybe, or a misunderstanding of it. She says here, sin is harmatia in Greek and is composed of two words, ha, meaning negative, and meros, meaning form. It means to miss the mark. Thayer's Greek lexicon defines it as a failure to hit the mark. He goes on to say that in Greek writings, it was used primarily to describe an error of understanding. Sin isn't about the things you do or don't do. It is missing the mark of sonship. The Mirror Bible defines it this way. To live out of context with the blueprint of one's design. To behave out of tune with God's original harmony. Now, I got this circled and I write, this is gold. So listen to this. Sin, singular, was not a new nature that Adam introduced into the world. It was the missing of the mark of our original design and not living as God's image and likeness bear. Behavior, image and likeness as a period there. Behavior, quote sins, plural, was simply the outflow of that distorted identity. It is finished. Robert
it's
Smith.
Good. Get it. Get it? It's good.
Sin. Living out of character. how do you say, living out of the outside the blueprint of our design, out of harmony or out of tune with God's original harmony. That kind of brings in that dance, out of step out with of the step. Dance of God. It's not, can a leopard change his spots? That's so beautiful. Oh, when I think of that now. Can a leopard change its spots? It was created as a leopard. Can it change its spots? And I like this too. In one of the Gospels, the genealogy of Jesus, it ends Adam, the son of God.
Yeah.
He wasn't a child of the devil. At no point in time, just had a misunderstanding and he got out of step. Well, that's what Jesus came to reveal. How do you dance with the Father, Larry? there's a Shema.
A Shema.
Involved the beat of that drum.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, he leads in the dance. That's nice. I'll put that out too.
That's good. Yeah, you have to have somebody lead if you're going to dance.
Yeah.
I mean, together, that relationship.
If I feel like he's dragging me all over the dance floor.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.
Faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide. Our way through this wild life. His love.